Philippians chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 17. I'm going to read to the end of verse number 22. Philippians chapter number 2, starting in verse 17 to the end of verse 22. If you have that in your King James Bible, you can read along in unison with me. Philippians 2, 17 to 22. Ready? Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. I want you to look at verse number 20. The Apostle Paul is writing about Timothy, and he says, "For I have no man like-minded." I don't know what the title of this sermon is going to be tonight. It's either going to be naming names or in the defense of Pastor DiGiorgio. You can figure out the title after I'm done. But it's either going to be naming names or in defense of Pastor DiGiorgio. Please get a pen and paper out. Get your Bible out. You're going to want to write some of these verses down. We're going to turn to them. This is going to be more teaching than anything else. I hope and I pray this will be a help tonight. Let's pray. Now, dear God, we want to thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I thank you again for Brother Abram and his family. Dear Holy Spirit of God, we don't have church tonight, just the fellowship. We don't have the doors open tonight and the lights on just so we can hear the latest news or gossip or see how everybody else is doing. Truth of the matter is, dear God, we should be in church about 6 hours a day, at least one day a week, hearing, preaching, and teaching, and singing all day long. And so, Lord, here it is, the second part, second half of today. I pray, Lord, that we'd remember what we heard this morning from Brother Abel, but pay attention to a Bible study now and teaching of the Word of God. I pray, dear God, that this would help hearts and minds draw closer to Thee and really to each other. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 17. I'm going to talk to you tonight about naming names and why is it that preachers name names. As some of you know, I'll be leaving on vacation shortly. A few fellows will be, I guess, filling in. But I sort of thought of what would be the last sermon that I would ever preach if I died after this sermon. And so I was thinking and praying about a Bible study or preaching or hellfire and damnation sermon. And I thought, the more I prayed about it, the more I was reading my Bible this week, I said, there's no doubt in my mind that this would be the most important sermon that I could leave behind if today, tonight, would be my very last sermon. Naming names or in defense of Pastor DiGiorgio. Let me say this. We're in a day and age where we have people, and I'm talking about Bible-believing churches, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, that will teach good, that will preach good, and they'll leave it right there. And they won't name what sin is, but they'll tell you to stay away from sin. They'll preach against certain people, but they won't name the certain people. So we have this dichotomy in churches a lot of times, or trichotomies. We probably have a lot of them, where one side of the room will think I'm preaching about a certain individual, but the other side of the room will think I'm preaching about somebody else. And so everybody's saying amen, because in your own mind, you're thinking about who you want me to be preaching about. What you'll find as we read these Bible verses tonight, the pastor with a backbone who may not want to say everything that he's got to say will say everything that needs to be said, as difficult as it may be, so that you will have no doubt in your mind that you know what the preacher's talking about. I personally think the one thing that is lacking today from a preacher standpoint is the fear of naming names. And as we go through the Bible verse tonight, you're going to see God's very into naming names. I can't get into tonight all the good folks. We're going to get into some examples, but there's plenty of names in here that God says that we should be careful of. And as we start, let's go to, since we're here, Philippians chapter number 2, let's look at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know, you can talk to somebody about God and they'll listen to you. About a higher power, they'll listen to you. But you throw in that Jesus is God and say, ho. A Muslim will come and say, oh yeah, we believe the Old Testament too. We believe the books of Moses too. We believe in Allah too. We believe this. But as soon as you tell them that Jesus is God, as soon as you tell a Mormon that Jesus is God, and you name who your God is, then you're looking for trouble. Brother Marshall was telling me, he was at a military place somewhere, at a chapel, or not a chapel, Air Force, I forget what it was. Large congregation, large audience, and they asked him to say the benediction, to do the prayer. Because they wanted a bland, fits in or meshes into all of society without separating the name. God makes a big, big point about naming names. And so, the Bible says, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 first, and then we'll begin the Bible study. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. I'm going to tell you, all right, for instance, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts number 1. When I got saved, one of the biggest encouragements in my life, at that time I was a new Christian, was Jerry Falwell. I used to watch him on television. I used to listen to a couple preachers on radio. And God was helping me through those preachers to find the right kind of church, the right Bible, the right kind of camp. And so God used those individuals. Now, you got to remember, Jerry Falwell is not the same Jerry Falwell he was 30 years ago. And what you do, you have a picture of how the public schools were 30 years ago when you went to public school. You ought to walk through a public school today and find out how wicked it is. And you ought to go to the campus of Lynchburg, Virginia, and see the non-King James Bibles in the pews, a rock concert going up on the platform. And it's not the same what it used to be. As much as it helped me, I got to tell people, hey, he's not the same. But at the same time, that's all he knows. He doesn't know the issues. He doesn't know about the King James Bible. He doesn't know about the rock music in churches. He doesn't know about contemporary music. So to the world, it's hard to do that, to be honest with you, the more it goes on. But to the world who doesn't know anything, I'm still with, as much as I possibly can be, with somebody like Jerry Falwell, as much as I, let's move on. But you know what I'm saying. So you better be careful who you associate with and who you name, because the world's looking at you and God's looking at you and God's people are looking at you. Paul writes in his Bible, in the Word of God, that Timothy, I have no man like-minded like me. By the way, Pastor DiGiorgio, there's no man on planet. I don't know what my boys are going to. It's easy to preach what you preach at the loyalty meeting. That was good. But get yourself a job first, then get bills, work your tail off, get tired, and do that for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, have a family, get married, have children, and still preach what you're preaching 5, 10 years later, that'll be great. See, anybody can preach a good sermon, but you do that for 5 years or 10 years, and then we'll see what you're worth. There's no man like-minded like I am, Pastor Giorgio. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what kind of preaching we need. That's one individual who he feels bad in naming certain things and certain people and certain camps, but is the most necessary thing that's needed in fundamentalism today, in independent Baptist churches today. Everybody's afraid to say, oh, so-and-so believes that, or so-and-so is doing that, because we don't want to offend anybody. That tells you how spineless, really, our churches and our pastorettes really are. Acts chapter 1, verse number 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Now, they're talking about Judas, all right? Which was guide to them that took Jesus. So even after Judas had committed suicide and left the scene, they're still talking about Judas. So why does he still do that? Because there's people still around who were associating with Judas. And here's the thing. A lot of times when I preach about Judas, you may hear somebody say amen, but until I name the name of Judas, then everything goes quiet. Because on this side, you have somebody thinking, well, this person is Judas. And somebody on this side saying, well, this person is Judas. So it's easy for everybody to just say amen on this side, because you're thinking about somebody else. It's easy on this side, everybody say, because all I'm saying is stay away from Judas, but until the name comes out, that's when people get upset. They weren't afraid to name Judas by name. Neither was the Apostle Paul, and neither is God. Neither was Moses, neither was Jeremiah, neither were any of the preachers or Elijah. That's what's missing today. God did the same thing with the Greeks in Acts chapter number 6. Turn to Acts chapter number 6, please. God takes a whole lump, the whole group of people, and he says these Greeks are murmuring against the Hebrews in Acts 6, verse number 1. And he says the same thing in Titus chapter number 1, verses 10 to 13. He lumps all the Cretans as even your own people say that they're a lazy bunch of liars. Now that's quite an indictment for Greek people, but I got news for you, it's still true. It's still true about the land of Africa and Ham. It's still true. They've been cursed. Just look at it. Open your eyes and look at it. So what God does, what people don't like, is when God writes in here the names of individuals, groups of people, countries who have rejected God. We don't like that because it bothers us. You're too sensitive. These people say you ought to be tolerant of everybody. They're tolerant of everybody except Bible-believing preachers. Did you ever notice that? Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. God put man and wife in the Bible, the people who lied to God. Sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? These are church people, by the way. The biggest problem we've had in our church have been church people. Not unsaved people. Not the queers. Not the abortion crowd. Not Hillary. Not the left-wingers. Not the liberals. Church people. And here, Peter, in front of the church, stands him up and says, now why have you decided to lie against God? You know, if somebody were to do that, you know how many people you lose? As many people as we've lost, that's why. So I don't think he ought to do it. That's because you don't read your Bible. Because you don't believe your Bible and you don't read your Bible. That's why. All right, how about Acts 13? Oh, I'm sorry, let's go to Acts chapter number 6 first. I don't want to skip that. Verse number 9, I did mention about the Greeks. I want you to mention the Alexandrians here. Look at verse number 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, three groups of people, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. The Alexandrians are from, guess where? Alexandria, Egypt. Named after Alexander the Great, where you get the complete opposite of the Textus Receptus, the Alexandrian manuscript, where all the other perversions are translated from. So God names the Alexandrians, guess what? Disputing with Stephen. And they were the ones that are going to stone him in the very next chapter. And God lets you know, stay away from the Alexandrians. But you know what God's people do? They go about and buy a non-King James Bible and support the Alexandrian manuscript because they don't read their Bible. God puts names in here for you and I to learn to stay away from a certain kind of people. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 1. Do we get to the second side, Jay? Acts 13, verse number 1. If you don't get a preacher who's not afraid, you better get a preacher who's not afraid to name names. And you better put them on the spot and ask him point blank and name names and name colleges and name preachers and name who he likes to hang around in, whose favorite preachers are, what his favorite colleges are, and find out by name what he believes. Don't just sit here and say, well, what do you believe about the Bible? That's so generic. That's what I wanted to word. That's what I was looking for before. That's so generic, anybody can say it. An evangelical can say that. Evangelical says, oh, I believe the Bible is the word of God. Sounds good. Oh, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. What do you believe of what John MacArthur said about the blood, though? Huh? What do you believe about Buddy in his t-shirt and his jeans over the Pepsi Arena? What do you believe about these fellows at Temple Baptist Church bringing rock music and contemporary music and filling up the place with 1,000 people and think it's okay? What do you think about those people individually by name? Acts 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger. Niger meaning black. The guy obviously is a black Christian in a new church there. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, John Mark. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew's name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, now he's naming a fellow in the Bible, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Why? Why would God allow this guy's name to be put in the Word of God for all eternity? That's not very nice of God, don't you think? Acts chapter 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Do you want to know who's bothering you more than anybody else? People outside this church, that you're allowing them to bother you and influence your mind. It's not the people in the building. It's not the people that make up the congregation. It's the people on the outside who are telling you about the people on the inside. And you're allowing your minds to be evil affected by Catholic people, backslidden people, Judases that you still have contact with, that you hang around with. There ought to be people tonight in this church with their children here, and they're going to blame the church or the preacher why their kids mess up. You know what I like doing? I like seeing the kids' expression when I name people by name and they look up at me. That's a clear indication that I hit a bullseye right there. I'm going to try purposely not to name names tonight because I'm preaching the Bible and trying to teach you this message. One of the most important ingredients of any pastor, whether you agree with him or not, is the willingness of the preacher against his nervousness and against him trying to be kind and him trying to not hurt people, but to come to the pulpit and just say, you know what? I got to say some things that are not nice and not pleasant, but I got to name some names. Now, the average person in Independent Fundamental Baptist Church gets mad at that. Instead of saying, thank you, preacher, for letting me know who's causing problems, people get mad at me. Keep reading here, Acts chapter 14. They made their minds evil, affected against their brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Chapter 15, please. Verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp. This is good, two good men here, Paul and Barnabas. They're traveling together as missionaries. Look, I don't know why it should shock you that preachers who are good friends and assistant preachers and assistant pastors and people who are on staff, all of a sudden they have a disagreement and they fall out. Why should that shock you? I'll tell you why it shocks you, because you're not reading the same book that I'm reading. You got to understand, God uses that sometimes to separate people for whatever reason that God sees fit. Some people have a big head, some people have pride, whatever reason, but here, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. If you read 14 verse 26, you'll see that the church's recommendation was heeded by the Apostle Paul. And if you check from here on, the Word of God follows Paul and Silas from here on, not Barnabas. Barnabas made a treacherous mistake. He thought now he was just like Paul. He thought he could do what Paul's doing. He thought now that he had as much knowledge as Paul did. And he said, no, I'm going to take John Mark. And Paul said, nope, John left us. We're not taking him again. Now, if you read the scripts later on, John Mark got his heart right with God. And Paul said he's now profitable for the ministry, but you don't hear Barnabas no more. That's why, you know, let me say, Judases are strong personalities. Every single Judas is a strong personality. And every single Judas looks like a better Christian. Who was in charge of the treasury? Responsible people. Who was teaching Sunday school? Responsible people. Who was going soul winning with Jesus? Responsible people. Who was preaching with him and working with him? Responsible people. So Judas was able, if you read the scriptures, especially the gospels, he was able to get in there and rile up all the disciples to get them upset with each other and with Jesus. So you see, weak-minded soft Christians or people with bigger hearts follow a strong leader like Judas. That's why one sinner destroyeth much good, the Bible says. That's why you got to be careful that you don't jump to conclusion that you think I'm just mad and out to get somebody. I'm trying to spare the flock. I'm trying to make you aware that you better be careful of so and so. Doesn't mean that at that time I'm mad at them. Acts, I'm sorry, Romans chapter number 16. Romans 16. And by the way, they say they named God named Diana in Acts chapter number 19. And we ought to name Mary the Catholic virgin. We all say she's a pagan worship. People talk about pagan worship, but they don't name the name. People talk about liberal, but they don't name the name. People talk about fundamental, but they don't name the name. They're afraid to, because they're going to lose money in the offering basket. They're going to lose a crowd. Romans chapter number 16. Look, if you can't say that at a loyalty meeting or a Sunday night independent fundamental Baptist church meeting, tell me, please tell me, where and when can you say it? If you're going to get upset for because a preacher said something at the loyalty meeting or a Sunday night church here, can we go to the Methodist church and say it? Can we go to Lutheran church and say it? We're so timid and so afraid of everybody getting their feelings hurt. Romans chapter number 16, verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Paul's writing. Which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many. That's a helper. And of myself also, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the church of the Gentiles. I do not know. You know how to do the other one, brother? Where's my, oh, is it on? It's on. I have lost count of the number of people. I'm talking about missionaries, preachers, and I could name them. I should name them tonight. Who have come by, visited with us, stayed with us, who have told me, out of my wife's presence, your wife's got a servant's heart. This is the first time she's ever heard this. I can tell you, preacher after preacher, missionary after missionary, I said, your wife has a servant's heart. But it's the backslidden and stubborn people in my church, they don't see that. Because of something in the past, some bitterness that they can't get over. And I'm not meaning to slight anybody. If I drop dead tomorrow, you better ask this lady right here what she thinks about the next pastor that's going to pastor behind this pulpit. You better get her opinion right there. She's laid down her life, her neck for me. I've got people at my job who've laid down their neck for me. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And Paul says the same thing. There was a time, you know, you pluck your eyes out for me. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now my son's going away October or August, Lord willing, to Texas. So that'll drop us down to four people. I'm telling you right now, if our church drops down to four, that's good enough for me. I do not need 200 people in my building. I do not need $1,000 coming in every single week in the offering basket. I need to sleep with a clean conscience. When I go to bed, I've told my people the truth. And part of that responsibility is naming names like Paul does. Look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Who? Paul's going to mark them for you. Don't worry. We're going to get to the verses. He said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And was what it says, avoid them. I am so glad, so glad I prayed this week and did not let my children come to the wedding yesterday. Because God is my witness, I knew something devilish was going to happen. I said devilish. But that's the people you like to hang around with. That's your friends. Instead of God's people, instead of the church people, we got people who like stabbing the preacher in the back
stabbing the preacher's family in the back, and we laugh with them and joke with them, we have a better time with them than with God's people. I said devilish. Deuteronomy 22:5 is still in the book. I was down in North Carolina. You asked my wife, I'll never forget as long as I live. The assistant pastor of our church, we had, I don't know what was it, February, Valentine's party, something for the couples only. Remember that? Yeah, you'll remember when I say it. And we had all the couples there. We rented some room, a banquet house. We went, you know, we didn't have any children then. And the assistant pastor of our church dressed like up a woman and put on a skit and a gag. And blessed be God, the most godliest couple in that church was a black family. They stood up and walked out and said, glory to God, man. They got character. With the preacher sitting there, sister pastor in a dress, said, boy, that's straight out of hell. I said, it's straight out of hell. Blessed be God. I am so thankful. I said everything I said yesterday with nobody saying amen hardly. I only lied by myself. Because I knew something devilish was up. I'm glad you didn't see what I saw yesterday, son. Sick and tired. Mark them, he said, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, avoid them, avoid them. Unless you are personally related, you read Ezekiel, you have no business hanging around them. I said no business hanging around them. I said no business hanging around them. I said it. For they are they that search, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Why don't you ask Pastor Giorgio what he thinks about A, B, or C? Ask him. I heard Curtis Hudson preach a pastor school about 10, 12, 15 years ago. He had a list. Remember, it's got to be 15 years ago now. He says, when you don't know what to do, he says, you get the godliest preachers you know and ask them. Amen. I mean, he said the preachers that go soul with him, preachers that preach on dress, preachers that preach the right, preachers who are not afraid to preach against sin, you ask them their opinion. You know who you ask? People on your same bottom level. I learned my lesson about 10, 12 years ago, never to tell any visiting preacher about anything in our church. Never. Never. I did that with Brother Gray one time, and a fellow pastor, a friend of mine, sitting on that second or third row over here, second row, I think. And I told Brother Gray, unfortunately, I told him. I didn't care what sermon he had. All he did was preach against that fellow right there, man, the whole sermon. And I said, I ain't never doing that again. But I like when Brother Abril preaches, or Brother Gardner preaches, or Brother Davis preaches, or Brother Storm preaches, or any other preacher we've had has no idea what's going on, but God uses it. Or for instance, Brother Abril can say, here's, watch this. Brother Abril says, you know, this or this, and people say amen. And Brother Abril says, you need not carnally minded, but spiritual minded. Amen, amen. But as soon, guess what? As soon as he pointed this man, says this man's spiritually minded, nobody said amen. You know what he did? He named the name, and he pointed right at him. Now, you know what? You're an idiot sometimes. And you don't qualify to be the pastor, but that guy's got a heart for God. I know they're up and down, they're left and right, off medication, or they're nuts sometimes, but they're the best soul winners we've ever had. They're the most sincere Christians we've ever had. You know who the worst people are? The Judases got it all together. They come in and sit in the church, and they can wear a shirt and tie, and they can wear a long dress, and they can look short, and the weak-minded people will follow Judases and still hang around Judases, and it bothers you. First Corinthians 16. God have mercy on you. You don't get a replacement from Texas Baptist College. If I croak or die or God kills me, which he should anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Sometimes it feels like a lonely creature sometimes when you're preaching and standing up by yourself. But you got to remember God's with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, and that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry. He names his people, Stephen, Stephanas. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge them. Here's the difference. Brother Hallett comes up to me. I shouldn't say this in public. I know I shouldn't say it. Okay? He comes up to me about 2 months ago, maybe three. I don't forget now. And he comes to my office and says, look, I got some bad news. I said, okay. He says, I can't teach Sunday school no more. All right. I'm thinking about, okay, what'd you do? Drank liquor, cheated, did something, you know. Bad testimony, right? He said, I can't teach Sunday school anymore. He says, because the kids in my church, in my Sunday school class, aren't doing what I'm teaching them, and I must not be a good teacher. I don't feel like being a parent no more. I don't feel like being a pastor no more. But it's not your, it's your obligation to teach them the truth. You leave the results with God, brother. But on the other hand, then I got the stiff-necked, rebellious people say, well, why can't I be the Sunday school teacher? That just tells me how wicked your heart is. Yes, sir. I got one of the godliest men I ever met in my life telling me he shouldn't be a Sunday school teacher. And then I got the most wicked backstabbing people say, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher. This is in defense of Pastor DeGiorgio that you get upset at, or naming names. Can't figure out which one it is yet. Are we in 1 Corinthians 15 yet? 1 Corinthians 16, I'm sorry. We go on the first, yeah, we have. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter number 2. The Bible names names. You ought to stay away from Salvation Army. Stay away from evangelical churches in America. You ought to stay away from these community churches. You know, people do some stupid things sometimes. I do some stupid things sometimes. And everybody, you know, sometimes we need to get back on track. We all make mistakes. But you give people long time long enough. I got a lot of patience. Patience, don't run out. Don't run out. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, watch this, what it says now, who seemed to be pillars. There are people in church. All right, for instance, I'm going to be gone, and Dave Wilson's going to come up, and I think Joe's going to do some Wednesday nights, and maybe Buzz's going to do a Wednesday night. I don't know what they're going to teach or preach. They ask me, what are you going to do? I don't know, whatever God leaves in your heart. Look, I know Dave Wilson doesn't believe everything I believe about easy believism, but Dave Wilson's got something for you to hear that you need to hear, and you know, you can put everything else in the Bible. You know enough of the Bible, you can read it, amen? John, Brother Hiles had John R. Rice at his church, and Brother Rice taught against tithing, and for the next 2 weeks, Brother Hiles had to teach everybody on tithing again because John R. Rice messed everybody up. Well, they were great men of God. They differed on certain things. So somebody differs on something. We get more upset at that than Judas's that trying to mess up the pot and try to get our minds evil affected against the brethren. Galatians 2, verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas, this is before now, in the book of Acts, before Barnabas left Paul. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now, if it was you, you'd take that out of the Bible. Look, Paul was a sinner. Peter was a sinner. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. Look, I go to soul winning clinic so Brother Greg can rip my face off. I need it. I need somebody who's got the power of God and not afraid of the soul winning attendance going down, or the college attendance going down, or the church attendance going down, or the pastor friends going down. I need somebody to send me out of pulpit and tell me I'm not doing enough for God. That's what I need, because I'm a sinner. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews, watch this, dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I sent unto Peter before them all. Church preaching. Why can't we just love everybody and get along? That's what Rodney King said in L.A. We're not that. We're Baptists. You know, I'm telling you, stay away from the liberal crowd. Don't believe the Bible. Don't have any standards. Don't go soul winning. I mean, Brother Habel said it. We're all a bunch of sinners. If that's all you're going to do is talk about somebody's sin, somebody messed up today, last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, if that's your Christianity, man, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. I do. I don't know. I sin. Galatians chapter 4, I'm trying to recover as many fallen Christians as possible. I'm trying to help those. Look, if you want to come through these doors and sit in these pews, I think you want my help. I'm sorry. Why would you come and sit in these pews and tithe? If you're not tithing, you're not right with God. You're stealing, you're robbing God, and the judgment of God's hanging over your head. I'm just telling you right now. But I'm just saying, you come to this church, you sing these songs, you tithe, you help out in the ministry here, whatever you do, I think you're here for help. I'm not going to attack you for coming. I'm going to try to preach, counsel, teach, try to encourage people. But I think you're up to no good, man. And you stop the preacher in the middle of a sermon and say, show me where's that in the Bible. And then go around trying to tell people to start a church. All the backsliders, all the people don't like the preaching, don't like the King James Bible, don't like Brother Gray, and call Gray by his last name. How about Dr. Gray? How about Dr. Hiles? Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 11. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And Paul makes a famous statement. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Look at the next verse there, please. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Now watch this. And not only when I am present with you. I'm not going to defend Dr. Gray here. You let another preacher in my presence try to criticize him. I'm not only going to defend Brother Hiles here. You let some other preacher criticize him in my presence. These people are my friends. These are people. You're here because of Dr. Hiles. Hello. This church was born on the front row of pastor school in 1986 or 85. 86, I think it is. You and I owe a great debt to that man of God. And this kind of church and this kind of old-time religion and this kind of right-wing fundamentalism is owed to Dr. Gray, to Dr. Hiles. Regardless of the little things you hear that we may disagree on or some other things you may hear somebody say. That gets you all up tight and says, oh, I can't believe you said that. He should stop saying that. No, you should start thinking his way. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you change your thinking to think the way the preacher thinks? Instead of him caving in and saying, all right, you don't hear that no more, so I won't say it. We've really wimped out. We really have wimped out. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. I'm trying to go in order. Because I know how much y'all read the Bible so much. Philippians 4, verse number 2. Paul's writing again. He says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, two women, that they be of the same mind of the Lord. And by the way, most of the problems we've had in church are women in church. Most of the problems we've had in church are women. Paul's writing a letter, and he names them by name. Can you imagine? My Sunday school teacher told me one time, he's got two people in his Sunday school class who are now pastoring. I don't think the other fellow's pastoring anymore. I'm pastoring. But Brother Dick told me forget the guy's name in California. Anyway, good-sized church at the time. He said he went out to visit him one time, and there was about maybe 100, 200 people. Nice, well-to-do kind of church, you know what I'm talking about? And so right in the middle of the sermon or something, or announcements, he asked two people to stand up, a couple. And in front of everybody, he told them, I appreciate all that you're doing, stuff like that, but the thing that you did with this wasn't right. You shouldn't have done that. In front of everybody. In front of everybody. He didn't yell at them. He didn't berate them. But he told them in front of everybody what they shouldn't have been doing. Can you imagine if I did that? I'd be car bombed, sued, put in prison, and everything else you can imagine. You don't understand why people don't start churches in inner cities. You don't understand it. Because you think this is normal. You think Troy's normal. That's what you think. I was talking to Pastor Hamilton. He's over at the house yesterday. His ministry is like our ministry. People want something for nothing. They got no character. That's why you get five people in the country, it equals about 50 people in the city here to do about the same kind of work, the same kind of giving. Usually. People in the country are more responsible. People in the country are more courteous. We had 75 people at my son's graduation party 2-3 weeks ago on a Saturday. And they were from non-fundamental, I don't know what you call it, what kind of church it is, evangelical Baptist church, you know, over there, and other people from the school. But they were friendly. They opened the doors for everybody. You go first, you first, you first. I said, no, you go. Okay, can I take that for you? Can I help you? Do you need any help? You get people in Troy, man, come to the house. Hey, stop running. Hey, and they cuss and swear and they yell and they're pigs and they don't pray. They're nothing. So you get mad at me trying to teach you how to live the right kind of life, how to have the right kind of manners, how to sit right, how to walk right, how to talk right, how to look right. You get mad at me, the preacher. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to harm you. I'm trying to help you. Hey. We can't even keep the doors closed while the air conditioner is going on. Go ahead, you go home. You know what you need to do? You need to buy a house. You need to pay some electric bills is what you need to do. That's a problem. We've been renting too long. We've been on Section 8 too long. We've been on welfare too long. We got this mentality that social service is going to take care of us. We have no idea what bills are. You'll grow up and get your own place. I promise you. You'll get some maturity then. Philippians chapter number 4, we're still there. Verse number 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul's naming names left and right. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm skipping quite a few here, but 1 Timothy chapter 5. I've only called, in the whole time I've been pastoring for 19 years, I've only called one family, one person from another church, a couple people, now two I think about it, two people from another church, and that was only after I got the pastor's permission to call them for a reason. It would be unethical for me to call somebody else from another church just to talk to them. I preached from here about a year, two, or three ago, and it's just come to fruition. Here's what you do. I'm going to try to be kind here because I'm going to purposely try not to name names. But I'm getting close to the address, as you can tell. You get a fellow. Look, here's... High gas prices bother everybody, don't they? It don't bother me. I laugh about it. You know why? Because I think it's funny that people who leave a good, solid, fundamental church in Petersburg, New York, have to drive now all the way across the county and spend gas money to go 20 miles away when they can only go about 3-4 miles away. Then you get somebody who used to come to church, but because of their pride and their stubbornness and their Judas-like character, now have to drive 20 miles past our church or 30 miles past our church and spend gas money that they could give the missionaries. And you know what? If the price goes to $4 a gallon and you want to really irk a liberal, just tell them, well, that's okay. The big oil companies support Republicans most of the times anyway. First Timothy, am I there? Chapter 5, verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Them. Personal. Not just, hey, if you see somebody, look, you think I'm bad here? I've personally told my children certain people and relatives, stay away from. I don't say anything from the pulpit that I don't do harder at home. I don't care. They know exactly what I feel about certain people. I just have to be with them sometimes because they're related to me. You understand? And if you're related to them, you gotta be with them sometimes. There are certain places I plan on never going into homes. I might have to for funerals and stuff like that. But there are certain places I plan on never entering their house again. Ever. Ever. So that's not very nice. I know some things you may not know then. And since you don't believe me and you don't trust me, we'll just move on to the next verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You ought to check your selection of friendships and see where they've gone after a couple years or so. And see what they believe about the Bible. My friend's Pastor George, I think he's still doing pretty good. My friend's Dr. Bob Gray, I think he's still doing pretty good. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of good. Now watch what it says here. Having a form of godliness, the traitors do. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and say, you know what? I don't know if I agree everything what the preacher says, or I don't see everything eye to eye with him. And you know, there's some things I disagree with him about. Well, if there is, then shut up and get your own church and start and say anything you want from a pulpit. But these people creep into houses and try to win over the hearts of weak-minded people, trying to evil affect them. And lead people astray out of church like you've seen the last year. Isn't it a miracle what you saw this morning come walking in the door? I don't know how many people came on the bus this morning, brother, but just you folks have been here for 2 or 3 years. Wasn't that a blessing to see what walked in this morning?